Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave is with us. Oh, Dave, it is good to see you, my friend.
Happy to be here.
Hey, we have an exciting program lined up for our listeners today. This is one of these days when our listeners are going to want to pick up a pen and paper, because I'm going to give you some homework here. There's some nice scriptures for you to research, and I won't read them all, so I'll share them with you so you can look them up at your leisure. We have an exciting program called The New Believers. That's what I decided to call this. Dave, you know, there's a lot of people out there, particularly new believers, but old Christians as well. That's not a nice word, is it? Old Christians. That doesn't sound right. Let's say Christians with some experience. But old and new alike, we need to learn how to live and what adjustments you have to make because you're a Christian. I do think it's particularly sensitive to new believers because there's so many things facing them that's different now than it was before. So why don't we give them words of encouragement on how to live as a new believer? That's what I'm going to attempt to do today. Do not attempt to cover up your mistakes. That's one of the first things I would tell a new believer. Everyone has sinned against God. Rather be it publicly or privately, we've all come up short in the past. You are instructed in the Word to confess that sin and turn away from it. Do it now. Obey the Lord. See, only a fool would attempt to deceive God. Your confession will unlock His mercy. Your weaknesses do not worry Him. He is not confused or bewildered about your deliverance. He's waiting for you. He knows the futility of sin. He is well acquainted with the empty promises of Satan. For all have sinned and come up short against the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. You'll find that written right there. You see, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's also from Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23. He that coveteth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever is forsakes them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. See, that's in the Old Testament as well. Begin the Bible habit. If you're a new believer, that's a very important thing to do. Pick a time, preferably in the morning, call it your wisdom hour, and read the Bible aloud. Do not get bogged down in theory or the Greek or the Hebrew translation. Just meditate on His Word. His Word is life. His Word creates faith. His Word will change the course of your life. Use your favorite translation. It doesn't matter. Celebrate being in the Book of Life. The name of every overcomer will echo through the chambers of heaven. Angels will hear it. Make prayer time an appointment. You make appointments with lawyers and doctors and friends. Well, start making an appointment with God. Enjoy His presence. When you get into the presence of God, something happens that does not happen anywhere else. Bring to Him your fears. Bring to Him your worries, your doubts, your tears. You greatly matter to Him. So enjoy Him, and certainly He enjoys you. If ye abide in Me, and My word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John chapter 15, verse 7. Feed your faith daily. You see, your faith is your confidence in God. Faith is a tool. It's a key. It's a weapon. A tool to create a future. A key to unlock God's storehouse of blessings. And the weapon that defeats Satan. Faith comes from when you hear God talk. Listen today to His Spirit, His servants, His scriptures. Absorb the promise of God. Start pursuing the wisdom of God. Wisdom is simply doing what God would do in a given situation. Jesus said, "You have received two gifts from God. One is your mouth, and two is His wisdom." Expect things to happen today. Do not worry. The Holy Spirit within you will rise to the occasion and speak through you. David, these are the kinds of things that new believers need to be able to appreciate. I'm sure that in your days in the pulpit, you probably had all kinds of questions from new believers and do's and don'ts and questions and uncertainties that they might have had. Can you share any of those thoughts with our listeners today?
Well, I think you got into a lot of information that really was helpful today. People who are just finding the Lord. I'm asking the question, we're talking about new believers today.
Mm-hmm.
You think we still have a revival of new believers? So many of the churches slipped away and people have gone their own way. And they're an old believer that believes they can just forget God for a while.
Yeah.
But if you're listening today, we're talking about new believers. We've got to have a revival of new believers, people who will finally stand up for God and make it an assignment that says, "Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to find out from Giffen Dave what do I do when I become a new believer." I think first of all, you got to start going to church. So how many people don't go to church on Sunday morning?
That's right.
The golf course is full and the fishing boat is available and the RV is going to the next place.
Yep, and the flea market and the sporting events, and it's one after another. You're right, Dave.
And you're just saying to yourself,
what is going on?
How can I be faithful in church? I agree summertime is a hard time to serve God, but if you really want to know what a new believer has to do, he has to be faithful in church. And you got to get into the presence of the Lord. You got to get into where the church is really involved. You must get into the singing and into the worship and to think what God is trying to say to me today. You got to put your time in. I mean, Sunday morning from 9 to 12:30, 9 to 1, that's 4 hours that I give to the Lord. I'll give it to Him for the rest of my life. I'm not staying home. I'm not going to sit around and say, "Well, I'm not going to church today." It takes a lot more than that to get me out of church. And I am appreciative of what happens in our church. Those who plan the worship and prepare songs that are going to move you and change your life, and you'll be able to hear from God. People who have just said, "Look, I'll do this and I'll do this." We have volunteers in our church that's willing to be in the choir every Sunday, willing to be on the platform, willing to come on Wednesday and practice and prepare for that. I mean, if nobody prepares, surely your church is going to be in a shambles, and you're not going to go back next week if it doesn't have a little bit of order and if it doesn't move you. If people don't prepare, you can't off the cuff trying to have a church service that moves people. And if you never are allowed on the platform, then move your pew. Sing so loud that everybody in your pew hears you. And sing with such joy and have a smile on your face and a bubble of spirit. And when the song is over, you say amen. And you know, that's what new believers really need. We have so many people that come to our church for the first time, and I always wonder about them. Wow, we have about maybe a couple dozen people that come in first time just because they heard that we're a different kind of a church. Uh-huh. And we want to hear their music. We want to see how they sing and what do they preach like and what is the response of the crowd and does everybody leave with being lifted up? That's new believers.
That's new believers.
Boy, if you're not doing that, you got saved. Somebody told you to get down on your knees and ask the Lord to save you from your sin, and then you don't do anything about it. Come on, you got to be kidding yourself. There's a lot wrong with that picture. If you don't move ahead, you'll never grow. You gotta. I mean, this is difficult to say sometimes, but you got to take an offering. You got to put something in the offering plate that said, hey, I love the Lord so much that I'm willing to give to the work of the kingdom.
That's right.
And when you begin to do these things, you'll find the people of your kind that does the same thing, and you begin to you like each other. And
yes.
You want to be able to move past people who don't like church and don't like the Bible, and move past those people. Don't relegate yourself to spending so much time thinking that that's the way you're gonna go. It's not the way at all. How many people are your friends? How many people are you wanting to deal with? Just go to church this week, and before you walk in the door, say, Lord, please let me help somebody today in this church house. Before I leave at 1 o'clock, wherever I'm going to eat, I will have talked to a new believer, a new person in the church, a new family that is looking for the right kind of church. You'll attract people to the church.
Yes.
They'll come back next week.
I like the way you think, Dave. That's absolutely right. I might come up a little weak there sometimes. When his service is over, I'm headed to the local restaurant. You're right. I need to stop. You might make me stop and think, too.
Well, you just got to take somebody with you.
I do that. I have three ladies in my life. Isn't that wonderful to be able to take three ladies to church?
I know you're a generous person. You bought me a lot of food since I've been.
Well,
your friend.
The three ladies in my life is my mother, my wife, and my daughter. But that's right. You should stop it and take the time to encourage somebody else to return to that church. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing your job as a new Christian or an old Christian for that matter. So I appreciate your insight, Dave. You're absolutely correct.
It's called mentor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You're being a mentor to these other people.
If you haven't tried to mentor somebody, you need to find somebody that's just looking and longing for more than they have, and you think you can help them. There's nothing better than reaching out to a person that's coming to your church, it's wonderful to find a new believer. We're talking about new believers.
Yes.
I love to find new believers and people that have just come out of a slow spot. They've come out of a funeral in the family. Mm-hmm. They've lost their job. They don't have finances. It's new believers. They are really needy people. We just can't say, I hope you like your job as a new believer. I hope you get, you love the Lord.
Well, we have to nourish that.
It's more than that.
I quite agree with you. You touched on another subject there, Dave, you just mentioned a moment ago, that I think is worth sharing a few more words about it. You're saying about the importance of tithing. When new believers, sometimes you almost sound like a salesman if you're trying to tell the people to tithe. But it's really important that new believers understand that the tithe is kind of the seed for the Holy Spirit. Tithe is a biblical practice that, it goes back from all the way back to the Old Testament. The practice of returning 10% of your income back to God after you have earned it. And the Old Testament, Abraham tithed. In the New Testament, even the Pharisees tithed. Remember that? Jesus reported that himself. Make God your financial partner. The results are guaranteed. We could almost make an entire program out of that. But I'd like to ensure, particularly the new believers, that all of those things you heard about tithing are true. if you wanted to get out of the financial bind that you're in, or you might be experiencing, particularly as young people get caught up in trying to keep up with the Joneses sort of thing, and that's tough to do when you have a wife and two little kids at home, and you're only 30 years old yourself, you say, "My, and now you want me to give 10% of it away?" The answer is, yes, I do. Because you will be rewarded many-fold over. I used to like to say tenfold, but now that makes me sound like a salesman. Let's just say many times over, you will be rewarded for what you are giving. You will receive that again and again and again, and it has never, never failed me yet. And I'm getting into my senior years, and I strongly believe that that's very important, that people learn to do that.
You cannot give the Lord.
You cannot outgive the Lord.
You try.
That's a good way to say it.
You go to church on Sunday and you put an extra $100 in the offering plate.
Yeah.
And then you just watch.
Yeah.
And you gotta
see
have a
happens.
Pencil and paper to write it all down so you don't forget it.
That's right, because it keeps coming again and again and again.
$100 to come to you.
Yep.
It'll shock you out of your shoes.
That's right.
It does.
That's right.
It does me that way. I just cannot believe the way
the Lord handles
my money.
And again.
I've challenged him. You know, and when you're in a church that's 50 years old and paid for, nobody worries about the money and all that. Our church is just starting a building program.
Yeah.
And we're going to build a $10 million church.
Oh, my.
And everybody, they cannot afford to say, "Hey, you know, I'm not going to give anything to the church this year. A few dollars here and a few dollars there."
Yeah.
No, our church is, we're getting ready to put our tithe to the test.
Yes. See, here
and
it is.
Every person's got to go beyond what they ever dreamed they could ever give God.
And they can do it.
And they can do it.
And it works.
They haven't.
It works.
Sometimes we don't have because we haven't given.
That's right. And it can be to your church, and it can be to your local fire company. It can be to your favorite radio station. It can be to your favorite neighbor. It can be to your favorite ministry. But be sure to give to God his due. And it doesn't have to stop at 10%. The more you give, the more you're going to have for yourself. And I'm saying that particularly to the new believers. The Christians that have been around for a while have had that experience. They already know that. They believe it, and they're not afraid to advocate it. But the new believer, you know, it always sounds like someone's trying to hustle me for a buck. And it's just not the way it is. Okay, Dave, I think we've made that point, but it's important that people understand.
I didn't
understand
think we were going to talk about money today.
No, it wasn't on my mind to do that, but it is important.
New believers need to understand.
They need to know that. Yeah.
That there's an obligation, you know, 10% is not a lot of our money.
That's right.
To give back to the Lord.
That's right.
And a lot of people give 50% now.
Yes.
There's men who have given 90% to the Lord and live off 10.
You know something? I knew a couple of people who did that, more than one, gave 90% and kept 10. And I know a guy who worked it the next year. He was going to retire, and he decided, he changed his mind. He's going to work one more year so that he could give 90% of his salary to their new church addition. I mean, isn't that fantastic that
people
would be willing to do that?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
I love to see people
the results
like that.
Are guaranteed. Jesus has guaranteed it. Let's move on. Recognize your deliverer. If you're a new believer, God assigned deliverers. Moses was assigned to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Elijah was sent to the widow of Zarephath to help her in her face. Well, recognize these messengers from God. Your reaction to a man or woman of God is carefully documented by God. When God talks to you, it is often through the spiritual leaders of your life. Do not ignore them. God put those people there in your life for a reason. Withdraw from contentious people and abandon abusive friendships. Keep away from those negative people. Those who do not increase you will invariably decrease you. Make no friendships with an angry man or with a furious person. Thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get snarled in thy own soul. Well, that's come right out of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 25. So if you read these things, it makes you think that, hey, I have to stay away from the nasty and the negative and stay with the positive Christian people. That's what we're trying to tell you. As a new believer, it's important that you do that. Sometimes you get caught up in an environment, you know, you go to work, you make a living, and you know, the person in the next desk or the next aisle or the next room or the next branch or the next division, someone you have to work with routinely can fall into that nasty or negative category, and you wonder to yourself, how can I do this? Well, the best way we can share with you is to show an attitude of gratitude and try to show that person how a godly Christian person will live and avoid that nasty and negative when they say something that's demoralizing and whatever that might be. Allow them to understand somehow, some way, that you don't particularly appreciate that. And when you ignore those statements, they'll eventually stop.
Let me jump in here for...
Sure, go right ahead.
New believers got to make a big deal about the event. New believers, they have to change their whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
Get up tomorrow and don't be passive. You're alive. Act like it. Talk like it. Celebrate yourself. Speak a little louder tomorrow. Speak a little faster. Smile bigger than you've ever smiled before. Laugh a lot tomorrow. Let the joy of Jesus spread over your life. And when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, things change. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. If you come around me and you do all those things I've just talked about, I'll say, yep. Hey, what happened to you, brother? You got saved, or you became a new believer.
That's what happens.
That's the event of the week, of the month. It could be this year. You can say, man, I can look back and I can remember the day I became a new believer. Change me completely. I'm not the same person. And it's contagious. It'll spread.
You're obviously a preacher. That is exactly right, Dave.
That's how it
happened. I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you for sharing that thought process. That's exactly right. Keep the spirit. When you're a new believer, you have to hang on to what you have. Keep the spirit of a finisher. Anyone can begin a marathon, but champions finish them. That's the way it is with our Christian faith. Everyone who experiences adversity, well, as every one of us do that, we all have to go the distance. Keep aflame the spirit of the finisher. Never, never, never give up. Keep your dreams and your goals, and they're worth fighting for. And any waiting that you might have to do is just necessary part of life. Just don't give up. Your perseverance demoralizes your enemies, and we would encourage you to be the finisher. Do not give up. Patience is a weapon. Never give up. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 says just that. Listen to pain. Pain is discomforting, created by disorder. It is not really an enemy. It's a signal, a memo, a messenger telling you that an enemy exists. When you were a child, you may have touched something hot. Well, it hurt. Pain made you jerk your hand away from it. Make changes to protect yourself from injury. If things are going wrong in your life, take it seriously. Let the pain talk to you, show you an initiative of any kind that might be necessary. You might have to make changes. Weeping may endure for a night, but the joy cometh in the morning. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5 says that. Come now and let us reason. Let us reason. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says that. Listen to your mentors. Dave went to a lot of trouble to explain to you a little earlier that we all have mentors and we have to follow their words. Listen to them and observe their lifestyle, their words. Reasons for their success will emerge. Pursue and extract the knowledge of the mentor that God has made available in your life. Endure these corrections. I remember a gentleman in our church once said, when you become a Christian, you don't have to give up anything. It's just your natural instinct to live a godly life that takes the sin away. You don't have to give it up. You don't want to do those things anymore. That's amazing how that works out. So you don't have to worry about a sacrifice just because you're with the Lord. Expect a turnaround as a reward to your obedience. Today is not permanent. Your worst circumstances today are subject to that change. God is stepping into the arena of your life. He is turning the tide in your favor, and you are never as far away from a miracle as it first appears. My goodness, Dave, there's so many things. I have a stack of notes here to go over yet, but we're running out of time. I'm sure that you always have a closing thought for our listeners. Could you share a very positive thing for our new believers about their acceptance and the follow of the Lord Jesus?
Life is a whole collection of battles. Don't think that because you became a new believer that life is going to go real soft now. It's going to be a little difficult. It's a great finish. Sometimes people get tough when they become a Christian because they know the devil's going to track them bigger than ever before. So hold on to your faith, push back the enemy, and walk in new life, excited about being a new believer.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye for now.
See you later.